Talon Sister, Book 1, written by Jen Williams and read by Jot Davis.
Savin the Trickster plucked the moon from the night sky and cast it down into the last lake to become an egg. From this, Fionnavar the Red came forth, and Yelvinia became the place where wisdom is hatched. Extract from the Further Histories of Yelvinia, written on the Silver Death Peak by an unknown griffin.
You're hogging the liver, and it's the best bit!
Yinnis ground her teeth against the tough meat, half determined to bite off another chunk before she gave it to her sister. But the organ flesh was rubbery and difficult to get a purchase on. Instead, she swallowed a mouthful of hot, salty blood and passed the liver to Taruk, who snapped it from her fingers with one darting movement of her beak.
Cut it up for me then,
she said, rubbing her bloodied hands on the grass. The carcass of the goat was a few feet away from them, its chest and stomach open to the blue sky.
I'm starving. I will slice it into delicate slithers, the better to suit your tiny human throat,
said Taruk mockingly. But in a few seconds, Yinnis had several long strips of purple offal in her lap, and she ate them up greedily. For a little while, they sat in companionable silence, eating their way through their lunch, while a handful of white clouds scudded overhead. They were in the lowest valley of Yelvinia, and it was one of the first properly warm days of spring. Ice had melted on most of the small streams that ran across the valley floor like veins in a leaf, and the first wildflowers were nodding their heads all around, a speckling of white, yellow, pink, and orange. Yinnis finished all but one of her strips of liver, pushing the last inside the flat leather bag she had tied around her waist. The bag was one of her most prized possessions, the result of an entire summer's experimentation with the human processes of skinning and tanning. Tvor and Flayn had always encouraged her interest in human crafts and customs, had even brought her home various artifacts found on the bodies of humans who had explored too far. Her fathers then had borne the process with quiet patience, but Taruk had complained endlessly about the smell and the waste of food and the general indignity of it all, only letting it go when Yinnis had presented her with a little leather band to wear around her leg. Taruk was partial to presents.
We should get moving. I suppose so.
Taruk stood up and unfurled her wings, chasing away the flies attempting to land on the goat corpse. Still not quite fully grown, her feathers edged from warm brown to an oily black, the smaller downy feathers on her chest and belly speckled with dots of grey and cream. Her eyes were golden, like yellow leaves in autumn, and her legs and taloned feet were covered in tough bluish skin.
I don't want to be flying under the moon if I can help it.
Coward.
Pfft! What would you know about flying in the dark, featherless egg? These lower valleys all look the same in the moonlight. We'd get lost. If I had my own wings, nothing would stop me flying,
said Yinnis with feeling.
I would live in the sky. Nothing would chase me from it. Not ever.
Perhaps it is good you do not have them then, said Taruk dryly.
No one can live in the clouds.
Yinnis rolled her eyes, recognizing one of their father's favorite phrases, usually deployed when Yinnis had spent a day exploring beyond the borders for human artifacts, or attempting to combine foods with other foods, or even make them hot, a concept the griffins found quite unsettling.
You do more talking than you do flying, Taruk. Let's get back up there.
Yinnis stood up, eager to be back in the sky. She went to Taruk, who bent long enough for her to get a purchase on her shoulder feathers, and then they were up, pelting into the blue, the heavy ground dropping away behind them.
I would stay up here forever if I could,
thought Yinnis. It was a small, fierce, private dream, one she warmed herself with when all else was cold and dark.
It's freedom to be able to fly like this.
Up above the valley, the warmth of the spring sun drained away, turning Eunice's bare arms bumpy with goose flesh. But she didn't mind. If anything, she yearned for it. This cold, battering silence that only ever belonged to the many-coloured sky.